DW Africa Link.
Religion walks a fine line between spirituality and structure. At its heart, it seeks the divine, but its reach into our lives can sometimes feel more like business than belief. Today we are tackling Rwanda's bold move to tax religious bodies, a first in regulating religious activity for financial accountability. Is this a step toward transparency or an overreach into faith? Let's dive into what this policy means for Rwanda and the wider African continent. My name is Josie Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Rwanda Governance Board, an agency overseeing faith groups, is already working on taxation model that would regulate churches and mosques. This comes after President Paul Kagame asked Parliament to find mechanism to stop what he calls, in quotes, nonsense in many religious groups. Rwandan government has been cracking down on churches that lack standards, with over 9,000 closed so far. Only 47 prayer sites, including churches and mosques, have qualified to be reopened from a total of 9,880, which had been closed following a nationwide evaluation. So how feasible will such a tax regime be, and could that restore some sanity into religious groups in Rwanda? Joining me is Ivan Mugisha, a political and social commentator from Rwanda. Also joining the discussion is DW correspondent Alex Ngarambe in Kigali. Let me start with you, Alex. You are our correspondent on the ground. Tell us about this new bill likely to be in Parliament for passage to tax religious groups.
Yes, this bill that is about to be tabled in Parliament, I think it has been triggered by the government, I think, especially the president. I think in the past few years, he has not been happy with the church activities, especially when he says it's all about noise making, especially in the night, throughout the day. He says they waste a lot of time in churches making noise. They are not engaged, especially the churchgoers. They are not engaged in any economic activities, which could lead to the population into poverty, because he says mainly they spend many hours, many days, month end on month in church, and they don't actually contribute to the economic activities mainly. So I think this bill is being triggered by his, we can say, anger or dislike of what the churches are doing, especially the churchgoers, the people. So, and in the last, let's say, 4 months, we have seen so many churches being closed. The government has come in so hard on churches and some mosques, of course. So we have seen over the past 4 years, or rather over the past 4 months, more than 9,000 churches closed, you know. So that's quite a big number of churches closed. And the government has made it strict and made it clear that they will not open them anytime soon unless they meet the standards that the government has put in place. And some of these standards are really very high and stringent. You might find that some churches will never open. So this bill is mainly, we can say, it is the president's initiative. Because mainly in Rwanda, when the president says something, it becomes law. Whenever he talks about something like he's suggesting, it is not only a suggestion, but the relevant offices take it as a law.
Right, yes. Right. Ivan, you are a political social commentator. What do you make of the intention to tax religious groups?
Thank you very much. The intention to tax religious groups has been a long way coming. The government has come in really, really hard, especially after the election. You wonder why it wasn't really this tough before the election. So suddenly after the election, the president are speaking very tough language about religion and about religious organizations, and the intention to curtail them. And I think in a way, the government has crossed a borderline when it comes to freedoms of worship, freedom of expression. They are doing their utmost best to make sure that they are seen as people who are very, very authoritarian when it comes to freedoms of so many things. Now they have come for religious groups. So I understand the rationale. There's everything. There's always a rationale for everything. For example, saying that religions or religious groups are very controlling, that they confuse people. The president had a very long speech of over a whole hour talking about how people are taken into caves to seek God, and then they faint because there's no oxygen. But you have to understand one thing. When people join religious groups, it's just not about manipulation. It's because of their faith. Everyone has some certain faith. And if you're going to come and attack people's faith, it means that you are curtailing on a very, very special freedom that they have. The president himself is religious. You would wonder how far he goes into his religion. Does he pray? Doesn't he pray? Why does he pray? Is it something he was convinced to do? Is it something that he feels is normal? So now that they're going to start taxing religions, which are not even profit-making, but they are taxing them because they think that they profit off people. So is the government now trying to tax people that are profiting off people? You see, it kind of doesn't make sense as well. So I think it's an authoritarian move, and many religious people are very angry. Some of them who voiced their opinions were told to shut up, and they indeed shut up. So it's happening when everyone has shut up in the country, because they know that once you say something, your church is going to be in trouble as well. And then there's also the element of telling people that you cannot be a preacher unless you have a bachelor's degree. It doesn't make sense, because most religious people say this is a calling from God, so you don't have to go to school, because God doesn't just appear in schools. I'm not very, very religious myself, but I feel like this is an authoritarian move that the government has pulled on the churches, and it's going to be very difficult for people who believe in religion.
Right, right. Now, the president himself, as you mentioned, has always been passionate about regulating the activities of religious groups, either to deal with noise making, like Ngarambe said, or weed out charlatans. Would taxing them make them even responsible, Ivan?
I do not really think that taxing them is going to make them religious. All they have to do is let's say the tax is 20% or 50%. All they have to do is call in more followers, in quote unquote, confuse more people to pay tithes, to pay offerings, and they'll get the tax. That's not a problem. That's not really going to be their problem. What the government should be doing instead is to make sure that religion is not a danger to people. Bodily harm or cults, let's say cults that ask people to do the most outrageous things, such as starving yourself or killing people or committing suicide. You know these things that have been happening across the world. The government is now basically trying to profit off people it sees as people who are doing something wrong. So you're profiting off people who you think are doing something wrong. It doesn't make sense either way. Are you now in a partnership with people who are fraudulent? Is that what the government is trying to do? It doesn't make sense. So I feel like the government is trying its best to curtail the activities of religious groups. I was hoping it's not a political move, but the fact that it has come so much into play after the election. Days after the election, it kind of makes me feel like it's a political move, although I don't have any proof of that.
Right. And Alex, what has been the reactions of churches and even mosques to this intended bill?
Well, we haven't seen much reaction from these churches or religious groups, because I think they have been beaten into submission by government. As we can see today, I want to believe that this is a political war. This is politics versus religion. And I think the political power has overpowered the religions. So we haven't seen much reactions, because when this crackdown on churches started months ago, some religious leaders, senior religious leaders we have in Rwanda, came out to voice their this their grievances, and a few days later they were forced to retract. So I think they are quiet. They have been beaten into submission. I think this is the politics versus religion, and politics has won. Definitely, that's what we expected, because we have seen even some of these traditional big churches, like Catholics, for example, Rwanda recently had their first cardinal in history, and we would expect a cardinal to come out and make a statement, but we haven't seen any statement from any church or any religious organization, be it Muslims, be it Christians. So I think they have accepted the move. They have accepted whatever the government has to say, and they will have to follow.
Right, right. Ivan, I know that you earlier spoke saying that this is not right in a way that the president does this to people who have their own beliefs. But in your own opinion, Ivan, do you think in modern terms, religious groups are now becoming more money-making institutions?
They definitely are, especially the modern-day groups, the Pentecostal groups, the evangelical groups, are definitely money-making machines, profiteering off people's mindsets. That's true, as you can see in America, as you can see in Nigeria, as you can see in Uganda, and as you can see even in Rwanda. Yes, that's happening. But largely, when it comes to government controlling these institutions, it's mostly like crossing a line. Like I myself, if you convince me to give me your money, as someone who as a preacher, if you convince me to give me your money as a preacher, why should the government have any hand in that? You know, like if I manage to convince 100 people, they are being stupid. Unless someone is being dangerous, that's when government can come in. But when someone is willingly giving their money to a church because of various reasons, because they feel that they will listen, because their prayers will be answered by God, because they'll get a job, because they'll get a husband or wife or whatever, a car, the government has no hand, it shouldn't have a hand in this. And but as I can understand, some governments, especially tough governments that just like ours in Rwanda, always see this as something they can curtail. But in the end, you are actually just curtailing freedom of expression, freedom of worship, people's rights to do whatever they want as long as they don't harm others. And I feel that that's wrong.
Give us some backstory. What kinds of problems have these religious groups, churches, and mosques created exactly?
In my opinion, it's mostly about control. Mm-hmm. They the religious groups have a very massive following. You find like a single pastor has so many people, so many followers. He has opened up churches in all the provinces, you know, and all those people like pretty much worship him, and they will do anything for him. They'll give him everything. And in a country like this where we have a president who is a very strong man, he probably sees them as a challenge and is like, okay, this is too much power for one person. This is too much power for a single group. We have to find a way to stop them.
Yeah. And do you, yeah. Alex, how do you anticipate the religious groups will react to this move?
Definitely, the government is determined, and the churches, they will not make any reaction. There's not going to be any complaints. They will happily pay these taxes so they can stay in business as well, because personally, I believe they're also in business.
Now, Ivan, as we wrap up, Rwanda is leading in this campaign in Africa. How far do you see this campaign going?
Well, I think some countries have also taken wind of this, and they've seen that Rwanda is doing this, and many leaders are also looking at how they can implement this, as you had in Uganda. I don't know if this was influenced by Rwanda, but yes, President Museveni has always talked about religion in a certain way, especially the evangelicals. So I feel that other countries might want to do this, but unlike in Rwanda, where we have a central government that's very, very strong and it's very influential, when the president says something, it's literally law, as Alex said. It's a bit different in some countries that are facing a similar growth of evangelicals, of controversial leaders, or controversial pastors. So, for example, in Nigeria, you introduce such a bill, as a president, you definitely might lose a whole section of votes if it comes to elections. In Uganda, the same way, pastors are very strong. They can influence politics. they can influence who the next leader can be, which is dissimilar to dissimilar in Rwanda, where the president gets 99% of the vote and is basically a very strong president. So I feel that in other countries, it might not necessarily go the same way. The religious leaders will come out fighting if you bring such a law. But in Rwanda, the few religious leaders who have come out fighting have the following day come out to say, oh, I'm sorry, yesterday you guys got me out of context. I love this. I love whatever the government is doing. And we just laugh it off. I don't see many countries having success in doing such a controversial move.
Ivan Mugisha, a political and social commentator from Rwanda, as well as DW correspondent in Rwanda, Alex Ngarambe, many thanks for joining us. At the Africa Link podcast, we always look across the continent to see how the stories and issues we are dealing with play out or at times even overlap. From fraud scandals to even more sinister crimes and the rise of false prophets across Africa, in South Africa, we investigate pastors who groom and sexually abuse young girls, as well as others who dupe their followers off their money. And we find out who has the power to check the excesses of these religious people.
Hello and welcome. I am your host, Eddie Micah Jr. We're going to talk about religion. Now, religion can be a way for people to seek solutions or find inner peace when life hits them with so many challenges. But some preachers can exploit this. Let's find out. Religion plays a major role in many African societies. Religion can be simply described as a system of faith and worship where people communicate with a spiritual power or powers. But fake prophets and their miracle churches continue to flourish by taking advantage of vulnerable people. In South Africa, we expose some of the most heinous sexual offenders in the country's recent history who commit crimes in the name of God.
There is going to come a time when false prophets will rise up. That statement is a prophetic statement. It's happening now, right in front of us.
The Bible says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. In recent years, however, self-proclaimed prophets have come to deceive their followers and cherish worldly possessions.
We'll continue to be rich. We'll continue to be multi-millionaires. We'll continue to be multi-billionaires. And we'll continue to preach Jesus, who died on the cross for us.
Faking miracles and prophecies, pastors are luring scores of believers into their churches to siphon their money and abuse them, all to live a life of luxury.
It has broken me, right? This whole experience, this whole ordeal, waking up every day, okay, I've left the church and I'm not dead yet.
In the name of Jesus, we proclaim freedom. We proclaim victory in the name of Jesus.
The church mafia is out to destroy your life.
You think you're the only one that was raped by a prophet? No, you're not the only one. It's what they do.
The false prophets are everywhere, but their victims also unite and stand against them.
It's time for us to say, it stops there and it goes no further. Yeah.
Cheryl Zondi does not go into churches anymore. Too painful are the memories. For this interview, however, she agrees to meet in one close to her home in Johannesburg. The gifted singer vividly remembers how she and other young girls were lured by gospel music to join a congregation close to their home called the Jesus Dominion International Church.
I think that's, for me, that's what gripped me into the church. I'd always loved music. I'd wanted to be a singer. For as long as I, you know, could breathe. And just hearing them and how they sang, they sounded like angels.
Timothy Omotoso, the church founder, set up a string of gospel choir girl bands after he met Zondi. On the left in this recording, a lead singer, she moved to the church grounds together with 30 other young women. They believe this to be the start of their singing careers, just to realize Omotoso's real intentions. Vulnerable and away from their friends and families, the pastor started to sexually abuse them. When he raped Zondi for the first time, she is a minor and convinced that the pastor commands heavenly powers that can destroy her.
What he said to me was that, you know, I was 14, so if ever I told anyone, you know, the man of God could be facing jail time, which is something that cannot happen. He told me that this was to be a covenant between himself, myself, and God, and that if ever I were to tell anyone, I would be breaking the covenant, and the punishment for breaking a covenant was death. So it wasn't something that I shared.
On the recordings from the time, we see Cheryl Zondi putting up a smile for the cameras. In reality, though, she was caught in a web of fear and intimidation. While her tormentor lured ever more girls into his scheme, Zondi finally mustered the strength to speak to her mother, who helped her to flee the church and go to the police. In 2017, special forces of police arrested Omotoso at the airport before he could escape to his native Nigeria.
He is a liar. The biggest lie that he's ever told was that he's a man of God.
Okay.
He is an abuser.
Okay.
He is a predator.
Yes.
He does not care about other people's feelings. He is narcissistic, and the world revolves around him.
Yes.
It's not talked about enough how, like, a survivor has to do so much work to literally claw themselves out of this image, this survivor or this victim image, and all the expectations that come with it after telling your story. Because in as much as you're supported, yes, you're also somewhat punished for telling your story by society. Now all of a sudden you can't dress a certain way. Now all of a sudden you can't be a sexual person, because how on earth can you be a sexual person if you were sexually assaulted?
Her brave testimony encouraged many victims to speak out, and Omotoso is currently facing 63 charges of rape, human trafficking, and racketeering. But Zondi's troubles are far from over. Police intelligence from a higher security prison informed her that hitmen were offered a bounty on her head.
You know, this is a very sad story that evokes a lot of anger. Now, while the case is still pending, the glimmer of hope is that Pastor Omotoso has been behind bars for almost 6 years. He's been charged with rape, racketeering, and human trafficking. We have to say, such fake pastors are not only in South Africa.
False prophets and prophecies are talking points in Ghana. They are very prevalent during elections where preachers claim to know outcomes. Gullible followers also constantly get duped, with some preachers occasionally prosecuted when their victims report to the police. With freedom of worship enshrined in Ghana's constitution, the issue remains a sensitive one. List is seen as clamping down on religious rights. The false prophets know that and abuse people's respect for religion.
About 20 years ago, a cult leader convinced his followers that he was taking them to heaven. On one evening, he reportedly gathered them in a church and burnt them. About 700 people died in the Kanungu massacre. Today, we still have the so-called men of God claiming supernatural powers, from predicting football and election results to claiming to cure diseases like cancer.
There's tele-evangelists allegedly paying people to pretend that they had been healed. There's pastors asking people to send them money at every opportunity. And a recent tragedy sparked an outcry as followers of a pastor at Kenya's coast starved themselves to death in the hope of redemption. Kenya has in the past taken steps to regulate some of these churches, but nobody really wants to meddle with religious freedom. But when tragedy strikes, it's a wake-up call, and most churches don't want this happening under their watch.
Clearly, it's really happening all across the continent. Have you heard about such fake pastor incidents in your area? Share your story with us. One thing is for sure, there should be a way to protect vulnerable people. We all have a role to play in stopping fake pastors from using and abusing people. No matter how difficult it may be, We must be encouraged to speak out against any form of injustice. That's the only way to fight it and help make the world a better place for you and for me. Now, don't forget to follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. And of course, check out our new TikTok channel with the name DW_the77%. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. That's where we draw the curtains. Thanks for sharing your time with us. Until next time, bye for now.
Problem don't jump poor man for road, but I make your heart no cut. Now God be the judge for God. If you hate on me, your time go come. If you lie for my head, your time go come. Anyhow you be, my day go break. Small thing them done they shout though, but expect me to be strong. I'm a man, I'm not a god. Cut me for hand, you go see blood. Turn me around, you go see sweat, yo. Touch me for last, you go see shit. Devil don't lie on the pulpit. And I don't wanna crucify you. Because you like waiting.
That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Remember to follow so you can catch all of the Africa Link podcast episodes. This podcast was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. My name is Josie Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until next time, it's bye for now.
DW. Made for Minds.